Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right. Every Wednesday, it is time for NFL Power Rankings. We use the same set of rankings to try our best to stay away from, like, hot take, nonsense, reactionary. We go to NFL.com every week because, theoretically at least, they should be the least hot takery. They're the damn league. They don't need to sell anything. They got the games.
They sell, don't they? They sell.
Who's number one? Any debate?
Nope. Casey.
Agreed. Here's where the debate starts. Brian Mitchell, who's the second best team in football?
Right now, Tampa Bay.
Wow, for real?
Yeah.
All right. Now, you're not saying, like, I suppose you can look at it.
When they beat Washington, yeah, whatever. They go up and they beat Detroit.
At Detroit?
Yeah.
And weirdly, people want to be dismissive of that.
You doing that, they're going to land outside of it. They probably 8.
They got him at 12.
Wow, that's crazy.
Which is not only a number I struggle to say, but also
what
nuts.
Are they going
to
do? They're going to put the same teams where they always do. So if it's not the Bucs, they're going still with Detroit or San Fran.
So they went Kansas
Buffalo.
City and then San Fran.
Yeah, and about San Fran is what's their record, 1-1?
Yeah. Lost on the road to Minnesota. Number three, this is a 2-0 team. So that means it's not Philly.
Buffalo.
Detroit.
Minnesota?
Nope. Their defense won them this last game. I could rock with that. I mean, they've now won a game.
CJ Stroud is all for real, dude.
And their defense was lights out in that game. Their
defense
Chicago.
Was lights out last year.
So they go. I think you got to move San Fran down, dude. You got Debo hurt, McCaffrey hurt.
But see, that's the thing about it. They're not looking at them being hurt. They're looking at when they're going to be back.
They go Kansas City, then the Niners, then Houston, then Buffalo. Buffalo's look great. The Lions at 5.
Buffalo didn't look good in the first 3 quarters in that first game they played when they came back and won.
It was – they came back well. They got down 17-0, but I think they had it tied up at halftime.
They were still – I thought they were still a little down at halftime. But they didn't look either that way. Great against them.
Detroit 5, Philly 6, the Chargers 7. Chargers are 2-0. This Herbert injury thing is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints, who have just been kicking ass. And you want to be dismissive of the Carolina game? Fine. But then they went to Dallas, to Jerry World, and kicked their ass.
The fact that one of their teams is Carolina, that makes people question it a little bit. But like you always say, they're the least hot takery. We are not buying into Derek Carr completely. You think the league is at this point?
I don't know. Also, Heavy Metal, check out the audio on the YouTube. I'm getting messages about it. Who do you buy more? There's a pair of 2-0 teams in the NFC South, New Orleans and Tampa. Frankly, I buy Tampa more.
I buy Tampa more because they were there last year. They were in the playoffs last year, dude. So I would buy them.
And whatever you want to say about Baker, that's a dude that has won playoff games for 2 different franchises now. They won a playoff game last year in Tampa. They won a playoff game with the Browns, for God's sakes. This one is interesting to me. This is the highest ranked 0-2 team, Baltimore Ravens. At 9. 0-2 at 9.
See, but the Ravens... The game against the Raiders is like it's unexplainable to me. But them losing to the Chiefs, most people felt that was going to happen. At 9, though?
I'm reading now from NFL.com
when I said about John Harbaugh and coach, they look at all of that stuff, man. Like, you know, how good they've been in the past. Teams that start slow, but they come back at the end. You know, so I can understand. I wouldn't have put him there. Not at this point.
I'm reading now from NFL.com about the Baltimore Ravens, who are 0-2. The Ravens are 0-2. The only time they've been in this spot under John Harbaugh was in 2015, when the team collapsed to a 5-11 record. But that Ravens team had a beat-up Joe Flacco as its leading passer, Justin Forsett as its leading rusher, and Kamar Aiken as its leading wideout. This team has Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and Zay Flowers, not to mention others who could have been statistical leaders on that 2015 squad. The Ravens led 23-13 with less than 10 minutes left and couldn't beat the Raiders. The fourth time since 2022 that Baltimore has coughed up a double-digit fourth-quarter lead. The Ravens were bound to take a step back defensively after a huge coaching brain drain on that side of the ball, but they're leaving too many points on the field.
I'm with that.
Not for nothing. My man McDonald, that so many thought was like really, really important to that Ravens defense.
Mm-hmm.
Got the head coaching job of Seattle. He's only 37.
Mm-hmm.
Married to a former Redskins cheerleader. Seahawks are 2-0.
Yeah.
Anthony Weaver, who was on that Ravens staff, left to be D.C. down in Miami. They did lose a lot defensively. I don't think 5-11, like a 5-11 collapse is coming. When I looked at the Ravens' win total, that was an under to me, just because it's hard.
How much was it?
I think they were at 11.5.
It's kind of hard to give anybody over 11.5.
Yeah, last year I think they won 14.
Yeah, but that's last year. I'm saying for me to start at the beginning of the year, looking at how, like you said, the league is there to make sure that guys can be, they wanted to create parity. 11.5 is going to be hard for me to put only, I would probably only put the Chiefs there because they have done it consistently.
Well, they had the highest. I think theirs might have been 12.
Yeah, I probably would have went under on 12.
All right. Ravens are 0-2. Their next three, at Dallas, home against Buffalo, at Cincy. Give me their record after five games.
You say who?
The Ravens currently 0-2.
They're 0-2. They got who else?
At Dallas is this weekend.
At Dallas.
Home for Buffalo.
Home for Buffalo.
At Cincinnati.
At Cincinnati. They're either going to be. I'll go more with two and three. I can see them going beating two of those teams, losing the one, because they're gonna make one team that's supposed to be good look bad. That's what they normally do. And if a team is real good, they're going to probably make them. If the team is bad, then they may lose to them. So you got three teams that are supposedly good at this point. They're going to.
Now, the Bengals are 0-2 also. We can have the same discussion about the Bengals.
The Bengals are 0-2. They're going to probably beat Dallas.
Not only are the Bengals 0-2, they both lost to the Chiefs.
They're going to beat Dallas and lose and beat one of the other two.
Who's 0-2 do you think is worse? The Bengals are 0-2 after losing to the Pats on the road. No, the Pats at home, pardon me, and then the Chiefs on the road. The Ravens lost to the Chiefs on the road, and then the damn Raiders at home. Like, they've both lost to teams that most folks expected to win maybe five games, and then the best team in football at their place.
They're both bad.
Ravens versus Cowboys has the makings of, like, a loser-leave-town match. Like, somebody needs a dub, man.
Hey, I'm with that. I don't care. I hope the team with the star in the helmet lose, though.
They'd be 1-2. Ravens get to 0-3, dude. And you know who they got week 6? Washington.
Yeah, man. It'll be a real good game. We're going to shut them down.
All right.
Have Valdez want to jump out the window.
Number 10 from NFL.com Power Rankings, the Packers. A really well-coached win over the Colts. I also think the Colts might not be that good. That's a different conversation.
But they get great plays, though. Outstanding, like one great play where they do throw the ball 80 yards in the air. He might flip after you do it, too.
I don't know enough, but whatever like brain lock Chris Ballard has on the media to just keep saying what a good GM he is, God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I had the same agent. I don't see the Packers at 10. That's the, they got the Packers and the Cowboys ahead of Tampa. You know what Tampa did last year? They won more playoff games than Dallas did.
Yeah.
If you want big picture body of work and you think Jordan Love's going to come back healthy, okay, I can understand the Green Bay thing.
Yeah, but Green Bay went on and won a game without Jordan Love. Tell you how good a team might be. And Dallas every year wins more games than just about everybody else in the league. They just lose in the playoffs.
Sure.
So if this is a regular season thing, it's not a playoff thing.
It's different though because they can't run the ball.
Yeah.
I just Tampa at 12 to me, it's too damn low.
I think they should be in the top 10 for sure. I told you I thought they were number two.
Listen, sometimes.
See, when Landfill sent them a lot of time, I don't like to look at it because I want to really see what they've done. And the league is as much like they fall on what somebody did last year more than we do as fans.
Dude, you have a former player's outlook is so much different than I think media analysis, fans, experts, whatever. Like, when we were talking about who I should draft in fantasy, and all the experts were saying Breece Hall or Tyreek Hill or all this stuff, and you were like, Saquon, he's going to be the top running back on a really good offense, right? Granted, he had that drop the other night, but in fantasy, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, Saquon's been really good so far. And in football, you can make a real case that the Bucs right now are the second-best team in the NFL, and yet they're 12th.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. See, I went to Louisiana one time for a fantasy football thing. So one of Gil's friends wasn't there. So he said, well, who's there? He said, man, be Mitch here. He said, let him pick for me. And I picked based off of what I thought. And they all told me, oh, well, his team is going to get destroyed. Guess who won the championship that year?
Yours.
The dude won the championship. So now they have banned me from ever picking again. All of they say I didn't know a damn thing about fantasy. They banned me from picking.
That's funny. Yeah, I think Tampa's got to be higher. I think that's a joke. I'll read.
But see, that just shows you they don't have a lot of faith in Baker, and they don't have a lot of faith in Minnesota. I mean, in not Baker, but Sam Darnold.
Where do you think Minnesota lands?
If Tampa is 12, Minnesota got to be 15, 16.
Nailed it, 15. The Steelers, 2-0, also 14th. They've got the Jets wedged in there. All right, none of us thought Washington would be top half of the league, right?
Yeah.
Washington just won a game, but they won a game against a very bad team.
Yeah. Against a bad team that only beat them.
I don't know the answer here, so I will provide my guess to start. The Washington Commanders in the latest batch of NFL.com Power Ranks. I got them. Who's terrible? The Panthers, the Giants.
I'm going to think the league put them at 28.
I'm going 26.
Okay.
B's at 28. I'm at 26. Christopher, what do you got?
I don't know how to talk through the mic.
He's getting there.
I'm getting there. What was the question?
Doing his best Jeff impression.
Where do you think the Commanders are going to be ranked in the power ranking?
Oh, man, probably not. After week two is what we're calling?
Yeah.
Nah, week eight.
Yeah.
Nah, after week two, man.
I don't know. I mean, maybe you're picking for the end of the season. I don't know. After week two, let's say 26th. I don't know.
Are you in JP?
I said 26. Landini, what do you got?
I think they were 29th last I checked.
See, Landry always sees it, so it's kind of – stop asking him.
Okay. I will stop asking him. Dolphins at 17. The Dolphins without Tua, I don't know what you got there. The Seahawks – they got the Seahawks at 19, and they're 2-0. That almost feels disrespectful.
Who they beat?
They beat the Pats on the road, and they beat the Broncos at home.
The Pats and the Broncos. Two teams that people expect to be bottom feeders.
All you can do is beat the teams on your schedule.
Yeah, that's true, but still, but they normally, when they are going to say how good you are, they normally are going to try to sit in there and add in and take for, and taking into consideration the people you beat.
That's fair. You know who they got next?
Who?
Miami. Tua-less. In Seattle. I don't know that the Dolphins game travels to the Pacific Northwest, the land of drab.
Yeah, but it's not that. The weather's not bad right now.
The weather could be, that's like Scotland up there. That weather could be whatever it wants to be, whenever it wants to be.
wasn't bad last time I checked it.
Who are you, Dion? What app you using? Seattle at 19.
I'm using the golf app. Golf apps are right normally when it comes to weather.
Atlanta at 20. Bears at 21. The Bears at 21? Cardinals, Jags 0-2. Colts 0-2. Rams 0-2. All right, now is the moment of truth. L.A. Rams are at 25. 26 is the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, they just had a really impressive win. 27, New England Patriots. You see who iced away. I didn't ice anything away because they ended up losing. But you see Antonio Gibson had a hell of a game for the Pats?
No.
He did? 28. Who had 28? You?
Me.
Well done. You nailed it. Did you cheat? Did you look?
Nope.
All right. 28, Washington Commanders. I read now from NFL.com. Dan Quinn's first victory in D.C. won't earn him a ton of style points, but the Commanders got it done. A strong run game helped pick up Jaden Daniels and the lagging pass game. If Brian Robinson, who had the two longest runs of his career Sunday, and Austin Eckler can be as efficient as they were against the Giants, it'll be a big boost for Daniels while he figures out the necessary timing. He took five sacks and touch, and while the staff tries to generate big plays through the air. The problem is that the Commanders don't face the Giants again until week 9. In between then, Washington goes up against some defenses that range from respectable to very good. Quinn's team also has to figure out its coverage issues on defense and knock out the silly penalties. But a win's a win. I think that's pretty fair, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the synopsis is pretty fair. I'm not sure. I think they could get up to 25-ish. I feel like if the offense continues to improve, I'm not sure the defense will improve. I think they're like a 24th, 25th is kind of where they belong.
If they can win this game this week, they're going to just have to stop worrying about what happened last year and start thinking about what's going on right now.
If they win this week, you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to win this week, but I've been wrong before.
You've been wrong a lot.
I've been wrong a lot. Ben Fisher joins us next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Got to have it.
Some people really need it.
I like this tune. Hell of a bass line. I just saw a poet in the hallway. Poet from WPGC, obviously.
Uh-huh.
She was telling me about all the giveaways they're giving away, and she said they've got rum and gift cards. Said I'll take one of each.
I'll take the rum. You got the gift cards.
Fair. I don't even know where the gift card's to. Might be to like a ladies' dress store. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with it.
You got a lady.
It's true. You want a dress, Lauren? Joining us right now on the BetQL guest line is our friend, Mr. Ben Fisher. Ben just had a really interesting article in Sports Business Journal about marketing rookie quarterbacks. Ben, what's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So one thing I've said a lot with this new Commanders brass, when RG3 was drafted here, and then even later when Dwayne Haskins was drafted here, they marketed the hell out of them, and they made them available all the time to the media, all sorts of like season ticket member stuff, all that kind of stuff. And what the organization this year did with Jaden is they kept it pretty low profile. I don't know if you noticed that also.
Yeah, I mean, I did, and that was one of the reasons I decided to write this story was that, you know, I mean, Marketing 101 at the Sports Journal, they're a big percentage of the people I talk to, and you think, you know, it's easy to sell the Chiefs, you know, consistent winners. Bad teams and marketers have to get a little bit more creative, and I look at teams like the Broncos, the Bears, and the Commanders, and I think, well, your new rookie quarterback, your first round draft pick, that is the most interesting part of the team. Of course, you might lead with them. But there's good reasons not to do that, and I think their teams are becoming more savvy about that. And certainly, Daniels is a good example of that, doing things differently than it had been in the past.
I think his personality is kind of like that anyway, where he's low key. But teams have been doing this with rookies and quarterbacks forever, though.
Pushing them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, I mean, look, almost by definition, if you're drafting high enough in the first round to take a quarterback who's ready to go, you probably don't have much else to work with from a marketing standpoint of the team. And I think the Commanders are a little different than that. I think you guys have a few more players whose names ring out than a lot of teams who are starting rookie quarterbacks. But still, you know, I think everyone thinks, you know what? These guys are starting quarterback for NFL teams. 15, 20 million people are watching them. Their performance is their marketing. There's no amount of appearances at season ticket holder events or trading cards or social media posts that's going to overcome the basic question of are these guys effective on the field or not? And until you can see that they are effective on the field, you're just causing trouble for yourself by putting them out there too much in a commercial context.
I totally agree, and I think, you know, just looking at the last 10, I guess 13 years or whatever, of the quarterbacks that have come here, Robert relished kind of the immediate push, marketing, spotlight, whatever. Dwayne, I think, was pretty reticent but kind of just went along with it. And Jaden, his personality is just so different, dude. Not that he's not...
Yeah, it's different.
He's not moved by the spotlight, you know what I mean?
But have you seen a change since the NIL come around to where guys are not so ready to go because they're already making money?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And that was one of the things I really got into more after I started making calls on this story, is that, interestingly enough, starting caliber quarterbacks coming out of college right now, there's two things about the NIL. One, they're not poor anymore. They definitely don't need the money of a new deal because they've already done deals. Even setting aside their on-field contract. Two, they actually know how to do that business. These guys were really, I mean, some of these guys were juniors or freshmen even in college when they first learned how to balance a brand deal for NIL with their time on the field. So in some ways, they're both more able to handle the conflicting demands, but they need to less. You know, I called Lee Steinberg, the legendary agent who's, you know, goes way back, you know, Jerry Maguire is about his life. And he told me, you know, Troy Aikman coming out of UCLA in 1989, first of all, he was poor. Second of all, he'd never done a commercial before. And it's inconceivable that a Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams or Bo Nix would be. You can't even think of somebody in that position nowadays.
That's crazy. I mean, that is really pretty remarkable. We're talking with Ben Fisher here from Sports Business Journal. You can give him a follow at Ben Fisher, SBJ, FISCHER. Covers the NFL for the Business Journal, does a really good job. Something interesting. Commanders are headed to Cincinnati Monday night. Because Washington's obviously in the new stadium business, I'm always paying attention when stadium news comes out. We know that there's new stadiums getting built in Nashville and Buffalo. I imagine that Nashville place is going to be a palace, and all of a sudden they're going to be in the Super Bowl rotation. I don't think that will be the case with Buffalo. Cincinnati's got stadium news. What's going on? I was going to say the nickname for Cincinnati, but I don't even know what it is. The Queen City, maybe? What is Cincinnati?
Yeah, Cincinnati is the Queen City. Okay. Charlotte might argue they're the Queen City. I guess they can both be Queen City. but just yesterday, a consultant for Hamilton County, the county in which Cincinnati put out an analysis of what it's going to take, and they're zeroing in on a 1.3 or 1.2, depending on who's doing the rounding, I guess, billion-dollar renovation of Paycor Stadium. And, you know, I think that's where they're headed. I don't think anyone in that market wants to go really gold-plated. I think there's like a $2.4 billion new stadium option, but I think they're more likely going down the path of a comprehensive renovation of their old stadium in the same vein that the Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars are looking at, where it's not unlike what the Dolphins did with Hard Rock Stadium, how it wasn't a new build, but it was such a comprehensive rebuild that it almost feels new by the time you're done with it.
I actually think what the Dolphins did at Hard Rock is pretty dope. And I think
it's a great-looking stadium.
I like it.
And they have very smartly built out so much other, I don't know if programming is the right term, but they have so many events there that place is busy kind of year-round. How effective is that? And in a world where it seems like there's more and more public pushback about public financing, and then it's really hard to get new construction projects, like, Do you think that trend, you said it's going on in Charlotte, it's going on in Jacksonville, like, is that more of the trend, do you think, going forward?
Yeah, boy, it's so hard to generalize from market to market because the political conditions are just different in different places, and, you know, the individual owners have such a different level of wealth. I would say that, you know, most places, who, if they can spend $1 billion and renovate it and get something they think is going to work for 20 or 30 more years instead of $2.5 billion, they will. But, you know, there are exceptions to that. You know, I mean, the Haslams in Cleveland are sort of in this position how there's one plan to rebuild, renovate what they're currently in, and another one to build brand new out in the suburbs, and it's much more expensive. But the upside of the new one is that would be a dome. So presumably Cleveland would be an interesting spot to put a Final Four, or, you know, maybe even a Super Bowl. That's a bit of a longer shot. But if the dome allows that to be a possibility. And, you know, I think every city council, county commissioner, individual owner is going to have a different calculation on how important it is to just simply get up to speed versus really some big value add. And, you know, it's just hard to say from city to city how that pans out. But safe to say, it's only getting harder to get the money from the government. You know, the political skepticism around this is coming from all corners.
But, like, a lot of the team owners that don't mind spending a little bit, it's kind of easy for them to get money from the government. Cincinnati has not always been known to spend.
No, that's true. And that is a major factor there in Cincinnati, is that the Brown family, the Black family, they're not going to put a penny more into this, and they absolutely have to. And they've got a real sweetheart deal. And, you know, of course, that can come back to bite you, though, because, I mean, you know, this is not a transaction with somebody you're never going to meet again. You know, you live next to the people you took the money from. And a lot of people in Cincinnati remember the original deal to build that stadium in the late 90s was very favorable toward the team and very unfavorable toward the taxpayers. And that's one of the reasons it's harder for them to get money this time. People have long memories about stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
I understand that it's hard to generalize city to city. So let's not generalize. Let's come to Washington. They need a new stadium. There's no secret there. Maryland Governor Wes Moore makes no bones about wanting them to stay. He was at the opener. He has repeatedly said, we got money, we got land, we're ready to get this done. Obviously, they're waiting to see what happens with RFK, and that requires politicians, and some dude in Montana is holding the whole thing up. It's just such a typical D.C. chicanery nonsense. But what do you make of a Commander's next stadium?
Well, I wish somebody in the Josh Harris circles would leak something along the lines of a game plan.
Yeah.
No, they're pretty buttoned up. You know, even just like a single slide showing the real estate. Because, I mean, it's amazing to the extent to which they've been able to keep that quiet, like where they're looking for plots of land to maybe do this. You know, look, I mean, the Commanders and Josh Harris and that team, they're in an ideal situation from a classic economic standpoint because they've got three different people wanting to host the stadium, or three different jurisdictions. And, you know, that's not rocket science. If you've got three people bidding for you, you're likely to get a pretty good deal from one of those two jurisdictions. On the other hand, you know, like I said, the political dynamics here are getting tough to say that, you know, if you had to put it to a public vote, Maryland and Virginia would be tough places to win those votes. You know, they're sort of left-leaning states with a lot of people who look at Josh Harris and Mitch Rales and Magic Johnson and say, build your own stadium. You know, so I think they'll end up in a pretty good spot just because of that competitive bidding dynamics. You know, they can play Maryland off, Virginia off, D.C. But, you know, it's a dicey play, too. They've got to make sure they don't screw things up politically because it could get ugly.
After everything went sideways with the Wiz and the Caps trying to move to Virginia, can Virginia really be seen as like a realistic stadium? You can't get 20,000 seats
right now. It's Maryland or DC.
Yeah, I feel like I could tell you the two sites. It's Landover where they are, or RFK. Do you see it differently?
Well, I don't really. I think you're on to something there. Virginia's demonstrated they've got challenges on the political front. I think that a stadium, a football stadium, that would presumably be a larger footprint than what we were talking about with the Monumental Sports and Leontis deal, farther out could be a different story.
That's
politically
true. Good God, but I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, that as somebody who used to live in the district and tried to not go into Northern Virginia if I could avoid it when I lived there, just because it was a hassle.
Hey, man, I'm not my state, Virginia. Man.
I'm cool with West. If they go to Loudoun, I just think Loudoun's too rich to get a stadium built. But if they go south, you got to get on 95 South. Good God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a helicopter.
Bad traffic in the best of situations. Right. So.
Dude, hey, yeah. Ben, last one. The Commanders rebrand has been around a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
It seems fairly clear the new owners don't necessarily love it, but they're kind of just like, yo, we got so much other stuff to do. We're not worried about this. How realistic do you think another new name is maybe down the road?
Boy, down the road, I guess it depends on how long you're talking. I think they absolutely view that as just not a good use of their time right now, considering their, you know, the stadium and just getting the team on the right track on the field. And I think, honestly, the longer the name stays, the less likely it is to change. It's just the sort of thing that, like, love it. If you're building the team from scratch, would you pick this name? Maybe not. But, you know, it's a big lift, and there's no guarantee the next one will be any more popular. So I think that, you know, while they maybe in a perfect world would think about that again, it's just I don't think it comes close to penciling out from an executive perspective on where their effort's best put. And I think that's probably going to remain true for the foreseeable future.
Ben, thank you, brother. Great info. Appreciate we really you. Appreciate the time, man.
Sure thing. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, man.
Ben Fisher, Sports Business Journal. Knowledgeable dude, man. Always enjoy having him on. When we come back, let's make some bets. And what do you know? Stallion's stealing food again. This song bumped when it came out. I think it was my senior year of college. Knox Road. Nobody had air conditioning. You just heard this bump out of every apartment.
Huh.
Roll that weed up.
Play a pimp.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Breaking news out of Green Bay. I don't often have breaking news out of Wisconsin. Jordan Love back at practice. How about that? Also, and I think this is a guy that might know, remember the Panthers traded for Baker and then just traded him away?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, speaking about Bryce Young, says his story is far, far from finished. One former small number one overall pick that everybody said was cooked. So, interesting stuff. Landfill, let's make some bets.
You think Bryce gets a chance to go to four different teams?
All right. Just looked up my action. Landfill, you got it?
Yeah, I won. I had the Liverpool money line. JP, you lost. You had the Mystics plus 10.5.
And, I took the sticks, baby.
B-Mitch hit a parlay. So B-Mitch is 3-0, and JP, you and I are 1-1, and Jeff is 0-2.
Did Chris have a pick?
No.
Chris, are you a gambler? You strike me as not.
Nah, I'm kind of like small time. Like, I love to do like a March Madness pool or put, you know, maybe $50 on
a
Super Bowl.
Man, we're not putting any money on this. Man, make a bet.
I'm just saying. All right. Who the Mystics playing? Man. Are they playing tonight?
No, they played last night.
Yeah, they're playing Fever tomorrow, I think, right?
They do
yeah.
play the Fever tomorrow.
I was a little small. This is very small time. We're not putting any money on it.
No, I know.
This is as small time.
Like, I don't have like the apps and all that stuff. Like, I'll, you know, like I love March Madness. That's like my favorite one. I love
pulling
the bracket
out. I'll book all your action,
Chris.
Like, just text me, bro. how many teams make the playoffs in the WNBA?
Probably most of them, because there's not that many.
There's only 12 teams, and 7 have already clinched playoff spots.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And only 2 have been eliminated.
They're adding 2 more teams next year, I think, though, right?
Hey, man, add it up. All right, who wants what tonight?
Give me the Astros. Yeah, you know something else is coming.
I tweeted it out this morning.
Astros and Tigers.
There it is.
Astros and Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah. A&T. Was that agriculture and technology? A&T, is that what you think of, B?
What?
I tweeted this out this morning.
Like the A&T might not be what you're thinking.
Agriculture and technology. The Pac-12, one of these football conferences that nobody at all pretends to care about the colleges, put football on Wednesday night. Started this week. If Oregon State was playing Fresno tonight, I'd be betting on it. I'd be watching it. It'd probably be a second TV, but I'd be watching it. Landfill, what are you taking?
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers. All right, there's no WNBA action. It feels like a baseball or bust night. There's a dude named Gomber pitching for the Rockies. I'm not taking that guy. I'll tell you that much. The Angels have a dude named Kachanowicz pitching. I don't think I'm taking him either. Orioles desperate for a win, and the Giants pitcher's name's Birdsong. Give me the O's to win. They need one. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to me for losing my show sheet. B, can you thank our guests today?
I threw it over there, man.
Thank you to Ben Fisher. Thank you to John Talty. And thank you to Neil Greenberg.
There you go.
Thank you to Heavy Metal Chris and Landini in
Give
the aquarium.
My show sheet back. Don't
Brian
just
wants his show sheet back. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.